disciple. Verily, I say unto you, you shall in no wise lose the reward. Let us pray. Dear Father, Lord, I pray that you fill the pastor with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let him preach tonight, Lord. Let us be edified by your wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look at verse number 13 again. The Bible read, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And this evening's sermon, I want to talk about being a guest and hosting. That's the title of the sermon, in fact, being a guest and hosting. Now, I've been greatly privileged to stay with many people and to even host many people throughout several years of my life. And this sermon is in certainly no way in response to anything that's ever happened, okay? This is just something that I've observed. It's mostly the fact that my mother taught me a lot of these values, and the Bible teaches a lot of different things about it. But I think it'll be a very edifying sermon of just teaching you how to behave yourself whenever you are someone that's going to host someone, or whenever you're going to be a guest somewhere. Just what does that look like? What does the Bible have to say about this? And in Matthew chapter number 10, he's sending out his disciples, and they're going to be going into the world, they're going to be preaching the gospel, and they're going to have to be staying with different people and different guests. And my first point this evening is, whenever you're going to be a guest, you should try to find a worthy home to stay in. That's what Jesus Christ clearly tells them. He says, hey, you know, look at verse number 11. Into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. So notice that he's instructing them to try and find a good place to stay. They're not just going to stay anywhere. They're actually inquiring of someone who is worthy. And in fact, I've done this many times. Whenever I have to go to a place and I'm looking for a place to stay, I might ask somebody, say, hey, who would be somebody I could stay with? Or is there a place I could go? And basically, they'll give me some kind of a recommendation. And then I'll say, all right, I'm going to go to that place. Now, when it's saying the worthiness here, especially in this context, we have to understand that the worthiness is defined in this passage. It says in verse number 12, and when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. So he contrasts one house with being worthy with a house that what? Doesn't receive you and doesn't listen to your words. So notice the worthiness of this house is not how big it is, how nice it is, how accommodating it is. It's about the reception of the people and whom are taking you in. And specifically, this context would be the saved, right? I mean, the people that are receiving their words are those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that don't receive their words are those that are not saved. And he's saying, hey, you should try to find people that are worthy to stay with. That worthiness is going to be someone who's saved, right? I mean, if I have to pick someone to stay with, I think it makes a lot of sense to stay with someone who is saved, right? If I'm going to be a guest somewhere, I'm going to try my best to stay with someone who's worthy. I'm not going to stay with a family where I know they're going to stay up late drinking alcohol, and they're going to be doing all kinds of drugs, and they're going to be tempting me to do all kinds of bad things. I don't want to stay with that type of a person. I would rather stay with someone where I know, hey, this person is going to respect my wishes. They're going to respect my beliefs, even if they're not exactly aligned. Hey, this is another saved brother in Christ. You know, this is the type of person that you want to stay with. And look, it's a dangerous world out there. We already learned that in the morning sermon, I hope, okay? And so whenever you're going to stay somewhere, especially if you're traveling with your own family, you should try to inquire of someone who is worthy. Don't think that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to ask around, see whom you're going to stay with, find a good place to stay. So being a guest, you should decide, hey, I want to look for some place that's going to be worthy. But notice, if it is worthy, what does it say in verse 12? This is my second point. It says, when you come into an house, salute it. So my number two point is, whenever you come to be someone's guest, I believe that you should try to compliment the guest's house or the host's house in some way. Now, obviously, I'm not going to say flatter. Flattery is what? An insincere compliment. But if you come into someone's house, hey, you like the way it smells. Hey, you like the way it's decorated. Hey, you like something about it. Hey, I really like this about your house. You should compliment the house. You should salute the house. You should say something nice unto the people in whom you're staying with, okay? Look, what does it very clearly say? It says, when you come into the house, salute it. So it's saying, hey, thanks for letting me stay here. I really like your house. I really like this about it. You know, I really like your yard. Just something, you know, but it should be sincere. But what are you doing? You're basically letting them know that you're giving them some kind of a confidence that you're glad to be there. You're pleased to be there. You appreciate the accommodations. It makes people feel nice whenever you compliment the accommodations that they're offering unto you. Oh, what's this junky place I'm coming into? You know, oh, man, what's that smell? People are going to, you know, be like, they don't want you to stay with them anymore. So it's nice to compliment people if you get an opportunity to stay with them. Go to Luke chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10. So I'm going to give you some practical advice that comes from the Bible on being a guest and if you're being a host. We're first going to talk about being a guest. Now, the Bible has a pretty parallel passage here and talks about some similar things. It says in Luke chapter 10, look at verse number 3. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So, again, part of the coming in even is the fact that you would allow God's blessing to come with you upon this house, upon the accommodations. And he's saying, hey, if you bless this house and it was a bad place, your blessing's just going to come back to you anyways, okay? So don't get all inquisitive, you know, let me see if I'm going to bless this house or not. Just bless it, you know. And then, hey, if the Son of Peace doesn't happen to be there, your blessing is just going to come back upon you. But my third point is this, that the Bible teaches that you're not supposed to go from house to house. Now, some weirdo out there tries to take this and say you shouldn't go soul winning. This is not the context of soul winning, okay? What this is saying is if I were to go travel to some area and stay, I shouldn't just stay, like, house hop. I shouldn't just go stay with this person and be like, what are y'all having on Tuesday night for dinner? Okay, what are y'all having on Wednesday night for dinner? No, you just find somebody that you're willing to go in and you just stay with them and let them accommodate all of your needs, all of your wants, and don't even feel bad about it. Because he says very clearly, hey, the labor is worthy of his hire. So if someone's willing to take you in, even though it might seem like a burden for them to take you in for a couple days, you know, don't share the love, just let them be the ones to fully receive you, to fully take upon you as their responsibility, because you're worthy of such hire. So if someone willing to take you in, what you need to do is you need to be content and grateful for your accommodations and use them. If you come and you stay with somebody, if you say, hey, I need to stay here for a week, and you stay there for one night, you know what the message is that you gave them? You don't like their place. You're not appreciative of the accommodations that they gave you. They'll think, oh man, why didn't they stay with us? What, our food isn't good enough? We didn't cook enough for you? We didn't have clean enough towel? You know, they're going to get all upset and offended when you don't take the accommodations that they offered unto you. So it's important, hey, don't go from house to house. If someone's willing to put you up and you can be there, you can stay there, then you need to just stay there. Don't just be going around. Don't be house hopping. Don't do these type of things. We need to be very content and grateful about the things that they provided us. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter number 11. You say, what does being content and grateful look like? Well, here's one. It's not complaining. Here's my fourth point. When you're a guest, don't complain. Period. Now, some people don't get this. You give people all kinds of different things. You take them on trips. You try to help them out. And they just want to complain about everything. Well, when I have a sandwich, I always have chips. Where are the chips at? You know, anytime I have a burger, I need a Coke with it. Where's my Coke? Oh, you don't have diet? I can't believe you don't have diet. I use Charmin Ultra. Do you have Charmin? Is that the, you know, I have to have a white towel, you know, over here on the... You ruin the experience for everybody. Look, whatever accommodations they give you, they provide you. Now, I'm not trying to put you in a box. I'm not saying don't ask for things. Obviously, you can say, hey, can I have a glass of water or can I have something to drink? Or, you know, if you need something, ask. And especially when they say, hey, do you need anything? Don't hesitate to ask, but you shouldn't be asking to complain. Well, do you have any mustard with this dry burger over here? You know, this is so dry. I just need something on it. I mean, do you even have like A1? Don't put A1 on the steak. Who are you? This is Texas, okay? Get that A1 out of here, all right? I'm offended you even asked me if I wanted A1, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But you have to realize whenever you're a guest that you shouldn't be a complainer. God hates complaining. I hate complaining. Every person hates complaining. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Look, nobody likes complaining. The children of Israel didn't like the Lord Jesus Christ's accommodations for them in the wilderness. Ah, this light bread, you know. All this bread from heaven. I don't want that, you know. We don't have anything to eat, just this light bread. Well, they had the quail, didn't they? They were like, man, the cucumbers and the onions and the leeks. Who really wants leeks? I mean, I've never even met this person. And look, when you start getting this complaining attitude, when you ever look at a situation and you're always wanting more, you can always find a way to complain, right? Basically, there's two types of people. There's two types of people. One person, no matter what the accommodations, are happy. And the other type of person, no matter what the accommodations, are always upset. It's not about the accommodations, though. Nobody's like, I just really wanted leeks. They had a bad attitude, so they're just trying to find any kind of excuse. All the leeks and the cucumbers and the onions and the garlic and all, you know. It's like, what are you eating? I'll just take the meat, you know. I'll just take the pancakes and the fried chicken. I mean, that sounds good to me. Maybe that's where the Black Hebrew Israelites come into play. I don't know. That's a different subject. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. See, I don't like these kind of jokes. Well, you can find another church. Look, when you're a guest, don't complain. Just eat whatever's set in front of you. Just take the food. Just eat it. Complaining ruins the experience. And honestly, if you complain, they're not going to want you to be their guest anymore. It really just ruins the experience. You know, you just choke it down if you have to. Ask for extra water and just take big gulps of water. You know, be an adult. But at the end of the day, you need to do your best to be thankful for what they blessed you with. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it received with thanksgiving. Don't refuse the food. Receive it. God says every creature of God is good. So if they put something in front of you, just think of this verse. All right, every creature of God is good. I'm just going to choke it down. Now, obviously, you've got a food allergy. Okay, some people take things weird. Obviously, you can say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm allergic to this. You know, it looks great. I would love to try it. It smells really wonderful. I just have a food allergy, so, you know, I don't want to partake in that. Just be respectful. Be kind. That's not complaining. You know, don't be like, oh, you didn't know I have a food allergy? How could you not tell? You know, why don't you just make me, you know, I can't believe you give me this accommodations, these type of food, you know. I need something more special. I need my sandwich cut up. I don't have crust on it, okay? You know, where's my little carrots with the dipping sauce? Do you not have dipping sauce for my carrots? It's like, come on, buddy. And look, you laugh. People act like this. You take them out. You go on missions trips and you go to the restaurant. Oh, I always get this, you know. You cater a big order for 40 people or something. It's like this. It's like, I always get soup with my, you know, with this meal. Or I have these special crackers. Or, you know, it's like, look, we'll go buy them then. Have fun, you know. And I try to be nice to people. Even if someone's a jerk, I just still say, okay, I'll help you out. Or I'll get you a Coke or whatever. But at the end of the day, it ruins the experience. Don't be a complainer. Don't complain. And this just, take this out. This is just for anything. Not just this sermon, not just this context, in all contexts. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Now, here's my advice, okay? And this is a double advice. If you're blessed to stay with somebody and the first night food is terrible and you had to choke it down, okay? Here's what you do the next night. Hey, I wanted to take y'all out for dinner. Even if the food's great, though, I still think that this is something that you should do. This is something my mom and dad always taught me. They said, if you get to stay with somebody and they're hosting you, it's customary to ask or provide a meal for them. You know, obviously, there can be a little tug and war there, but I'm just saying, it's customary to say, hey, I want to take you out for dinner one night. Or, hey, we'd like to, you know, do something for you. You're letting us stay here with you and you're doing this. So blessing them with a meal or taking them out or buying them a dinner. And again, this is optional. This is just things that you could think about. But look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Sophortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So notice, whenever he's talking about certain people coming, he's saying, I really like these people. They refreshed my spirit and they refreshed your spirit. You don't want people, whenever you come to, they come to stay with you, you think, wow, I never want them to stay with me again. You actually want people to say, hey, when that person came and stayed with me, it was great. We had a good time. They took us out to dinner. It was wonderful. I hope that if they come back, they'll stay with me again. Notice how he's talking about certain people. Certain people, it's just great. And he's saying some people are bad, though. You guys were lacking. They made up for your lacking. Okay, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I have a few different verses here that illustrate the same point. I'll read for you one other verse. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come in the house, this is talking about the three wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So notice the wise men, when they came unto the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't come empty-handed. They brought a blessing. They brought a gift unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, people want you to stay with them if you're going to bring them a gift. People want the, you to stay with them if you're going to bless them and take them out and do these type of things. You don't want to wear out your welcome. You want people to think, wow, I like this person staying with me. I like it when this person is with me. I enjoy their presence. They're doing good unto me. They're helping me as well. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord give mercy on the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. The Apostle Paul loves Onesiphorus. Why? He sought him out. He wasn't ashamed of this guy. And notice he often refreshed him. Notice he often would minister unto him. What is minister? It's serving unto him. It's doing good unto him. So we as God's people want to try and be a constant minister, doing good unto other people, refreshing other people. You know, there's certain people in my life that if they come and stay with me or vice versa, it's always sad when we depart. I'm always looking forward to the next time I get to see them. There's other people, as soon as they show up, you're ready for them to leave. This is called family. No, I'm just kidding. In-laws. No, I'm just kidding. I have great in-laws, but I'm just saying. You guys, okay? But here's the thing. There's certain people that you really enjoy their presence, and there's other people who you don't. And we as a guest, what you want to do is you want to leave on a good note. You don't want to wear out your welcome. You want to leave and make people think like, wow, that went by quickly, or wow, I wish we had been able to talk more, or I wish we could have done more together. You want them to want you to come back, not for them to be like, I can't wait for this person to leave. I can't wait for this person to go somewhere else, or making them kick you out, basically. Okay, go to Luke chapter 14. Go to Luke chapter number 14, and we're gonna hammer that point a little bit further in a minute. But so number five, if you can, take the host out to dinner or provide a meal for them. Number six, you should have no expectations. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 10. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Now, this is just a great principle, and it's just one verse. But essentially, we should not assume things. We should not have high expectations of ourselves, of just, you know, inviting ourselves over either. You know, some people are, you know, hey, what are you having for dinner? It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's probably going to be good. Yeah, I can't wait. What time, 6? You're like, yeah, somewhere someone's having dinner at 6. You know, what are you doing? Oh, coming to see you guys, right? Don't invite yourself over. Don't be that kind of patient. Don't have expectations. You know, someone invites you over. Oh, you're cooking me a steak, right? I like mine done medium. I could go for, you know, a 20-ounce porterhouse. You know, what do you got? You know, don't have high expectations. You know, don't have these crazy expectations. Or, you know, oh, you're giving me the master bedroom, right? Yeah, thanks. No problem. I'll take that. Nope, no biggie. You know, obviously we want to have low expectations, and then we want to allow people to do good unto us. We don't want to just set ourselves, you know, hey, I got the head of the table, right? Nope. You can sit at the kid table. You know, you can sit outside. It's time for you to go. We want to have no expectations. Whenever you come to an accommodation, you know, don't look at the situation as, oh, I always have a king when I sleep. You just have a queen? That's going to be rough. You know, I need 3 pillows. You don't have 3 pillows for me? You know, I have to have, a 5,000 count thread. You know, just don't have expectations like that. Just accept the accommodations, okay? And you laugh, but I'm serious. Some people just need this to be explained to them very explicitly. Look, don't have expectations. Just take what people give unto you. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Ask before you take anything. You know, don't just, you know, just strip down and jump in the hot tub and, you know, just ask. You know, be polite, be respectful of certain areas. Don't just start walking around the house. Ask to be shown around. Even when I come into a house, I don't just start going looking in every single bedroom. What do you got in this closet? What do you got in this drawer over here? You know, it's like, no, you just ask if you need to go somewhere or do whatever they tell you. You know, just try to be respectful. Think about yourself. You know, even when they say make yourself at home, don't take that too literally. Nobody really means that, okay? They just say that. That's one of those expressions, okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. This is my 7th point. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And the worst, what I wanted to kind of pick out here is this, the fact that we as God's people need to be very courteous people. We need to be very pitiful. We need to love. And we need to have some type of compassion. And what this looks like is we have to realize that if you go into someone else's home, okay, it's not going to be your home. They're going to do things differently. They're going to have things that you may disagree with. They may be things that they do that you don't like. There's going to be certain ways they prepare food. You wouldn't prepare it that way. You know what? I never boil chicken. That's just a bad way to cook, okay? But if they boil me chicken, I'm going to eat it. You know, there's going to be certain things they do that are just wrong, like having ranch dressing. That's just wrong, okay? You know, if they offer me day one, I'm not going to curse them at their house, okay? You know, if they do certain things if they say, hey, you can't wear shoes in the house. I wear shoes in my house. But you know what? I'm going to take my shoes off. Hey, they're going to do things that you don't agree with, that you don't like. This is not your opportunity to tell them how to do things better. Well, we have shoes in our house. We actually season our food. Whoa, you know, it's like, what are you talking about, buddy? Hey, we put the toilet paper on right, buddy. We put it on, you know, on the top, not the down. It's like, who cares? It's toilet paper. Really? Do you really care that much? I try to touch it as least as possible, you know. Just anything and everything. You know, I got to straighten this mirror out for you. You know, I got to do all this. Why do you have this picture? Why do you do this? And what? Do you see the movie you had here? And do you see what your kids are doing over here? And do you see what you're wearing? It's not your opportunity to tell them everything that you think that's wrong about their place. And everything that they're doing wrong, and to pick them apart. If you want to never be invited back, constantly tell them how they can improve. Yeah. Constantly instruct them on how everything they're doing is wrong. They will not want you to come back. Being a guest, you should keep your mouth shut. What is that? It's called courtesy. What is courtesy? Don't tell everybody everything they do wrong. You have a bad spirit when you have this type of attitude. That is not the attitude of Christ. That's not the attitude of a Christian. We got to have compassion. We got to be pitiful. We got to be loving. We got to be very courteous unto people, having manners, being respectful, and just realizing, hey, we're all compassed about with sin. Nobody in this room is perfect. Nobody has the right idea about everything. We all have to work on certain things. Look, I don't even like everything about my own house, okay? So obviously, if I was going in with a critical spirit, I could point out all kinds of things. Hey, your office is really messy. You're right. Hey, you need to work on your garage. Yeah, I do. Hey, your gutters, they got a lot of leaves in them. You're right. You know, I could pick my house apart. Don't go around picking other people's houses apart and all their different things and how they treat each other and how they do these things. Look, just pray for them, all right? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So what's point number 7? Don't talk about how you would do things differently. If you want to be such a good example, just show me. But don't go around picking me apart and telling me everything I do wrong. Be a courteous person. You know, a person that's not courteous, they just say everything that comes to their mind. Just every single thing they think, just is blurted out. And these people are often bad people. Now, I've been around people, you know, that it's just like, do you have any filter? And it's just like, no. Why? They have no courtesy. They have no love. They have no compassion. And they need to fix that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Another thing you need to do is whenever you're a guest at someone's house is you need to constantly say thank you. Thank you for letting me stay here. Thank you for providing me a meal. Thank you for giving me these towels. Thank just everything about it. You need to be constantly thanking them and being appreciative of everything they gave you. Now, obviously, we still don't want to be insincere, but you should be able to stir up in your heart the reality of saying, even if it wasn't the best meal you've ever had in your entire life, you could still say thank you for it. Even if it wasn't the greatest, if it wasn't the Ritz-Carlton, you could still be very thankful in your heart that they're willing to take you in and allow you to stay there and to do good unto you. And we need to get the right attitude and the right heart of giving thanks and notice in everything. What does God say? Well, I just can't believe I had to stay here and dad to do that. Look, you just have a bad spirit. A good person that loves the Lord is going to be thankful for a lot of different things. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. And if someone's bringing you into their home, look, that's a sacred place. The home is a special place. It's a sacred place. We ought not treat that with disrespect. We ought to be very thankful that someone would be willing to allow you to come into their home for any reason at all. Go to Galatians chapter number 6. Go to Galatians chapter number 6. So let me give you a quick recap. Number 1, go to places that are worthy. Number 2, salute the house, compliment the house. Number 3, just don't go from house to house. Be content and grateful for all your accommodations. Number 4, don't complain about things there. Number 5, take the host out to dinner. Number 6, have no expectations. Number 6, seven, don't talk about how you do things differently. Number 8, say thank you for the things provided. And another way you can even do this is give them a thank you note afterwards. After you're gone, you could send them a special thank you or say something unto them. Number 9, clean up after yourself. Wow, do people need this one? And this is just universal, okay? People are bad at cleaning up after themselves. Hey, here's one. Aren't you a guest in the house of the Lord today? How about you clean up after yourself? Any house that you go into, clean up after yourself. Don't be a messy person. People understand this, especially your kids. What usually happens is there's some people, they come in and their kids destroy somebody else's house and they're just like, see ya. And it's like, man, I can't stand inviting them over. They just destroy our house. You need to clean up after yourself. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You need to bear the burden of cleaning up. And not even just cleaning up after yourself, clean up after them too. I'll even offer to do the dishes for them or to help clean up. Anything that you notice that you can do, be helpful about the house. Don't be a burden. Bear one another's burdens. When you come in, you're a burden. Let me just help you out. Every single guest is a burden, period. You are the burden. So you know what you need to do? You need to try and lighten that load a little bit. clean up after yourselves. Be willing to help them out around the house. Hey, is there anything I can do to help with dinner? Hey, can I take out the trash? Hey, can I help you clean up this? Hey, you see something spilled? Can I clean up after that? Hey, your kids are playing with these toys. Let me go clean up after those things. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So the apostle Paul, when they would come unto a certain area, they tried their hardest not to be a burden upon them. What are some of the ways they did this? Well, they wouldn't take any money, or they would, you know, feed themselves, or they'd do all these different things. Why? They didn't want to be a burden unto other people, and we should try our hardest not to be a burden on other people. Whenever we're in their space, whenever they're in their situation, we should try to be the least amount of burden upon them as possible. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So notice that he wants to not be burdensome unto them. He is, in a sense, the parent in this picture, okay? What is he trying to say? He's the one that got them saved. He's the one that's pastoring them and leading them and guiding them. And he's saying, it doesn't make sense for you guys to be taking care of me. It makes more sense for me to be taking care of you. What's a good pastor? A good pastor bears the burden. What's a bad pastor do? He makes other people bear his burden. That's the picture of a bad pastor. Why? Because a leader is supposed to be a minister. He's supposed to be ministering unto other people. Now, obviously, for the work of the Lord to go on strong, and a good pastor or good leader is going to delegate. He's going to allow a lot of other people to get involved and shift off to other burdens. But the minister, the primary leader, should not be shifting off burdens that he wouldn't do himself. He shouldn't be giving the hardest task to other people and just taking it easy and just taking it light. And hey, I'll just give you all the hard jobs. I'll give you all the difficult things, and I'll just take all the easy things upon myself. And I think that this could still apply. Hey, when you come into the house, you ought to be as least burdensome as possible. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. It also says in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 11, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. So we see a lot of places in the Bible where the men of God are trying their hardest not to be a burden. And so because of them trying not to be a burden in some way, I likened that unto being a guest. When you're a guest, you should try your hardest not to be a burden on the people any more than you already are. Because guess what? You're going to be a burden when you come into someone else's home. Look at Acts chapter 24, verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. The reality is, whenever you aren't very self-aware, whenever you're just relaxing and doing whatever and making all these messes, you end up offending people. You end up causing them to be upset with you. And the Bible says we should try our hardest not to offend our brethren in any way. We should be the most gracious, kind guest that we possibly can, one in whom people are excited to have over, not a burden. Go to Proverbs 25. This is the last one I'm going to have for point number one about being a guest. But again, being a guest is a special privilege. We ought not take that lightly. And if you want to continually be people's guest, you need to take a lot of this advice. You know, you need to take this heed. You take heed to this advice. My last point is Proverbs chapter 25, and we've looked at this a little bit, but look at verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. And look, this, if you learn any point about being a guest, this is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Do not overstay your welcome. And my mother drilled this into me. She hammered this point. And, you know, sometimes you would want to stay longer, but you just need to leave. And I've been in so many situations where you can tell that somebody wants the other person to leave and they're not getting the hint. Like, to an extreme. Then let me give you the extreme, okay? They're saying, well, we're getting in bed. And they go and they get their pajamas and they come back out. All right, we're going to turn the lights out. We're getting in bed. And it's like, leave. Get out. They want you to go. Stop being in their presence. And look, do not overstay your welcome. You should leave where they want you to stay, not the opposite. Not be like keeping people up way past, midnight hours. And look, obviously you're having a good time. Sometimes time just flies and sooner or later it's late and you didn't even realize it, okay? But at the end of the day, you don't want people to just think, man, I can't wait for them to leave. Or you're just dropping hints and it's just like, they're not getting it. I mean, look. Well, thanks for coming. Let me help you out. When they say thanks for coming, you leave. Well, I'm glad that you're able to come over. It's time to go. Hey, I'm glad you got to see me, Now, that's kind of sarcastic. But whenever they start dropping hints, you've probably already crossed that threshold. You need to go. And sometimes people, they're just very polite. They're very courteous. So they don't want to just spell it out for you. They don't want to just say, get out of here. Hey, it's time for you to go. We're done. Hit the road, Jack. So they'll just say, thanks for coming. Can I get your coat? Do you want me to warm up your car? Obviously, when they start dropping hints, you need to get out of there, okay? And you probably should even apologize. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. We didn't want to take you too long, or we appreciate you letting us come over. We'll get out of here. No problem. See you later. Don't be like, you want me to leave already? What's this? Where's the dessert? Where's the chocolate chip cookies? Oh, you're going to bed? Don't worry. I'll lock up. What's the alarm code? No, you just get out of there, okay? Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. We want to be good guests today. We want to be gracious guests. We want people to enjoy our presence, enjoy our company. And at some point, whenever you don't withdraw from your neighbor's house, they start getting irritated. They start hating you, is what the Bible says. That's intense. They didn't hate you at first because they wouldn't invite you over. So you go from one extreme of enjoying somebody to now you never want to be around them. This is the experience you get in college called roommates. You like this person, you want to room with them. By the end of it, you never want to room with that person ever again. It's like that person is a horrible person to live with. And you say, why? Well, they weren't following any of these steps, okay? But look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Let's talk about hosts for a moment. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. Now, go with you to Judges chapter 19. What I like about this story is they were really thinking about the needs of their guests, weren't they? Hey, let's get this guy a bed. Let's get this guy a table. Let's get this guy a stool. Let's get this guy a candlestick. And then what's her attitude? So then the next time he'll stay with us again. She's already planning the next time. She's saying, I want to be such a great host, such a wonderful blessing unto this person that there's no way they would go anywhere else. And look, I stayed with people where I think like, I don't want to stay anywhere else. I love staying here. I love being at this place. It's great. They have such great accommodations. They're so welcoming. It's just wonderful. I don't even want to go back home. I'll just stay with them, is how you feel. And she's trying to make it so great that anytime he's traveling, oh man, he's going to stay there. He's going to want to stay with this type of person. Now, Judges chapter 19 is a negative chapter, okay? I get that. But we can pick out some nuggets of gold here, all right? Look at verse 20. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. The old man does something very good. He says, hey, let all of your wants lie upon me. And that's the attitude of a great host. A great host wants to take care of everything. Say, hey, anything and everything you need, we got you covered. We thought about it. We got all the food. We got all the snacks. We got water for you. We got extra sheets. We got extra blankets. We got the towels. It's not like, hey, we'll use the towel. Oh, the dog only laid on a little bit. Here you go. Here's an extra towel. And you're like, don't want to stay there again, you know. When people aren't really thinking about your needs or trying to accommodate you or they're not trying to satisfy every single one of your wants, it really ends up being a place you don't really want to stay at again. It ends up being not as comfortable of a place as it could be. When the person's just saying, look, everything you need, you could possibly need, I got it. And let me take care of it. I got your food. I got your clothing. I got your shelter. I got everything you could possibly need. Come here and we'll take care of you. Number one point, being a host, all your want should lie upon you. If not, why be a host? What's the point? If you're going to be the host, say, hey, we got you covered. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Bible says in Luke 9, and he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. So Jesus, when he's trying to send his disciples out in the beginning, he says, take nothing. You know what that's going to make them need? To be fully reliant on their host, for their host to provide all their needs. And that's why it said the laborer is worthy of his hire, isn't he? Because he's going to be a burden unto these people, but that's what Jesus wanted them to do. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. This is talking about widows. It says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Now, I've never had anybody wash my feet when I came in. I'm not asking for that, okay? But notice, that's pretty subservient, isn't it? That's a pretty gracious attitude. Whenever she's hosting someone, she'll even wash their feet. She's letting all of their wants lie upon her. And some people don't understand the word stranger in the Bible. Stranger here does not mean someone she's never met, okay? It means a foreigner, okay? It means someone that's not from that area. What would this look like? Maybe you have a friend or you know somebody that doesn't live here and they're coming here and you're lodging them. You're putting them up. Look, in today's day and age, we're not supposed to just take random people off the street and put them in your house. That is bad advice. Don't take this verse and go to a weird extreme. Don't invite the bum on the corner to live with you. Don't invite random people that you have no idea about. They're really sketchy into your home. I don't agree with that. I don't believe in that. Now, look. You know, I'm not saying you can't, and I'm not saying there's not in a circumstance where it might seem like you just want to be a blessing, but be very cautious of that. And the lodging of strangers here is not in connection with just taking random bozos and putting them in your house. It's talking about people that have nowhere else to stay. There's someone that you know, you're familiar with. They have a good report. You know, Ruth is considered a stranger in the book of Ruth, but he knows all about her. He knows where she's from. He knows that she's a good person. So, hey, if a pastor friend of mine calls me and says, hey, I have a church member, they're a really faithful church member, they're serving the Lord, they're a great family, I've known them for years, they need a place to stay, that's lodging a stranger. It's not me going out somewhere and just finding some bum at 12 o'clock at night and inviting him in my house. Yeah. That is not what the Bible's teaching. Why in the world would a widow do that? That is nonsensical, okay? And historically, like, old IFB churches and things like that, they're very hospitable. If you call them and say, hey, we have a young minister, we have a young youth pastor, we have a traveling evangelist or whoever, they'll have people accommodate them. Sometimes they're usually older people that their kids are left, they're empty nesters. It could even be a widow in this case. That's what the Bible's picturing here, being someone that would, you know, even lodge a stranger. Go to Luke chapter number 10 and look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Look at the attitude of the Good Samaritan. All of the wants are lying upon the Good Samaritan. And even in this case, where he's the host, it's not even his physical dwelling. And that can be the case too. You know, we have pastors come and preach for us. They don't always stay in my personal home, okay? We might get them a hotel room, or we might get them some kind of accommodations in the area. But hey, we're going to say all of your wants, we want them to lie upon us. We'll take care of it. We'll pay for it. We'll do good on you. We want to be a blessing unto people. We want to be such a good host. They're like, I really hope Pastor Shelley asked me to come preach for them again, because it's such a great experience. We don't want to be such a sour host that they're like, man, I can't stand being with those guys. They put me in some flea bag motel, and they don't even, they take me out to the worst dinner, you know, McDonald's or whatever, Taco Bell. It's like, what are you doing here? Hey, you can have whatever you want at Taco Bell. Yeah. On the dollar menu, you know. Don't get those expensive combo meals, all right? That's where they get you, you know. You can have the cheapest thing on the menu, you know. Don't go over $5 either, okay? Now, this is a bad host, all right? We want to be a good host. We want them to be enjoying their stay. Go to Genesis chapter 18. So point one, if you're going to be a host, you should realize you should be a good host. You should decide, you know what, if I'm going to host something, if I'm going to accommodate somebody, I'm going to pony up, basically. I'm going to be the one to make sure and take care of them and do good. Hey, we'd like to invite you over for dinner. We really like, Marco's Pizza. Would you buy some and bring it over? It's like, what? And in fact, you know, we can only have dinner for about 30 minutes. Maybe you can just drop it off. Look, that's not a good host. Okay, a gracious host. Don't invite people to dinner, you know, invite them over to your home expecting them to bring the dinner, okay, expecting them to pay for it. You should be a good host. I heard a story about some guy. I'm not going to go in there. Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall have passed on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. He hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. So my point number two, if you're going to be a guest, you should constantly, if you're going to be a host, you should constantly offer your guests beverages and food. You should constantly offer them the things that they need. Hey, they come in. Hey, do you need a glass of water? Do you need anything to eat? Can I get you anything? Can we help you with anything? You should be constantly offering, because if you have a good guest, they're not going to sit there and be like, I need some water now, and I need something to eat now. They're not going to be taking all these things. So you need to be constantly offering them. And most of the time, people are thinking like, I wish you'd offer like 5 minutes ago. You know. So if you're going to be a great host, you need to be constantly offering your guests food and beverages. And notice Abraham, he's right on it, right? Hey, don't even leave. Let me get you something to drink. Let me get you something to eat. Why don't you stay here? Let me help you out. He's running into Sarah. He's telling her what to do. And she wasn't like, who are you to tell me what to do? She just does it, right? Like a good wife. Go to Genesis 24. Genesis 24, look at verse 19. We have another example. It says right here, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. This Rebekah, under the servant of Abraham, and she's saying, hey, I'm not just going to feed you or give you drink. I'll give your camels drink even. So notice she's on top of it. She's a good host. She has a good attitude. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. So point one of being a great host, let all of the wants of the guest come upon you. Be willing to take upon the full responsibility of being a good host, and your desire should be for them to stay. What was the desire of the widow woman, or of the woman hosting, not widow, but the woman hosting Elisha? She wants them to stay with him again, right? What was the attitude of Abraham here? He wants them to stay with him. That's the attitude of a host. If you don't want them to stay with you, don't invite them over. Don't bring them into your home. Don't offer them these type of beverages. Don't feed stray cats, okay? Because they'll keep coming back, all right? Number 3 point. This is super important, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Whenever you invite someone into your home, you have to still protect your children. Please protect your children. Why did I say don't invite random strangers in your home? Because you shouldn't. And, you know, I gave you a gift, hopefully. If you read that book, you'll see a good reason why. Don't invite just random people in your home. And even if you do, even if you think you know the person really well, they're not bunking with my daughter. They're not bunking with my kids. They're going to be in a separate space. They're not going to be in my kids' space. We're going to protect them and protect my kids. I'm going to make sure my kids are safe. I'm not going to leave them in the house with this random person. I'm not going to put anybody in an awkward situation. And in fact, I'm not going to leave a man with my wife in the home either. And this goes to the point of being a guest too. If you're a man and you're staying in someone's home, don't stay alone with the wife. Leave. Just find something to do. Just go somewhere else. If the man has to go to work, or the man's not going to be there, or the man's going to go pick up milk, or whatever, I'll go with you. Or, hey, I'm going to step outside. Don't put yourself in a compromising situation, and don't put your family in a compromising situation. You don't know what's out there. It's dark out there. It's very dark, and you need to protect your family. Look, being hospitable is great. Protecting your family is more important. I would rather have nobody ever come to my house, ever, and have a bad rep for being not being hospitable than anything ever happening to my kids. You say, well, you couldn't be a pastor then. Well, I'd rather not be a pastor and my kids not be molested. Now, again, I'm not trying to say I won't be hospitable. I've had people stay in my home. But you know what? They're not going to be, I'm not going to compromise my children's safety by being hospitable to anybody for any reason ever. You make sure to keep your family safe. You know, some people even make their kids sleep with them at night. And I think that's a good idea. You don't have to do that. You know, the Bible, I'm not going to read for you again all of it, but it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. There's a lot of bad people. There's a lot of false brethren. I've known a lot of people who have hosted some bad people. I've hosted some bad people, okay? Some really wicked people. You don't even know. Look, there's people that are child molesters that you wouldn't even believe. 25% of children by the age of 18 have been molested in America. 25%. You know that comes from bad guests. Oh, Uncle Diddle came over, and you know, Cousin Diddle and nephew, you know, it's like you don't trust any guest in your home with your children. Period. You say, I don't like that advice. Well, you know what? I don't want your kids to be molested. You don't put them alone with your kids. You don't put them in these places. Your kids are too precious. I'm going to read you some statistics. During a one-year period in the U.S., 16% of youths ages 14 to 17 have been sexually victimized. Over the course of their lifetime, 28% of U.S. youth ages 14 to 17 have been sexually victimized. Despite what children are taught about stranger danger, most child victims are abused by someone they know and trust. When the abuser is not a family member, the victim is more often a boy than a girl. The results of a 3-state study of reported rape survivors under age 12, which is so sick and disgusting, it says 96% were known to their victims. 50% were acquaintances and friends. 20% were fathers. 16% were relatives. 4% were strangers. And when it's saying stranger here, it's not the Bible definition of stranger. It's saying you didn't know them at all. So in fact, not knowing people is a less likely occurrence of something bad happening. Now you want to know why? Because when you don't know someone, all of a sudden you put on all your protection, don't you? You put up a lot of safeguards. You're not going to trust them. Guess what? Do that with everyone. Because I don't like these statistics. These statistics are horrifying. They're awful. I looked up another article, Advocates for Youth, 1995. Child abuse and other risk of not living with both parents. And this is where it really comes into play. Published in Martin Daly and Margot Wilson. If their parents find new partners. So this is talking about single parents. And unfortunately, one of the highest abuse rates is among single parents. bringing in new people, bringing in people they're not really that familiar with in the house. Children are 40 times more likely to be abused when their parent's a single parent. 40 times more likely. They're just, I mean, that's like astronomical. It says, than those who are living with a biological parent, to be sexually abused or physically abused. According to a Missouri-based study of children living in homes with unrelated adults, children are nearly 50 times as likely to die of inflicted injuries as children living with two biological parents. So if you just happen to live with, you know, Steve and Bob or whatever, 50 times more likely to die. Look, these statistics are just disturbing and scary is what the article says. And I agree. Look, you need to protect your children. I'm not trying to scare you about being a host. We should be hospitable. We should be gracious. But you know what? There should be some clear boundaries, some clear protection. And I don't like it when people, you know, try to put me in a compromising situation. Because I don't want to put myself in a compromising situation because I know if they'll trust me, they might do it with someone else. And even though I know I won't do anything bad, I don't want them to get used to putting someone in a situation where they could do something. I don't want them to put me alone with their kids. I don't want them to put me alone with their spouse. I don't want them to do these type of things. I'm just going to completely stay away and even make mention of it. No, I don't think it's appropriate for me to be here. I'm just going to go somewhere else. I don't want to put you in that situation. I don't want to make y'all uncomfortable. That's probably not a good thing to do. And just help put them at ease, make them feel comfortable, putting boundaries, making things that are safe. And if you're a guest, you should try your best to even put boundaries in place. You don't want to allow your children to have any harm. And there's a lot of precious children in this room. You guard them and you protect them. And you don't let weirdos into your home. Mark chapter 14. Go to Mark chapter 14. And just because they go to church doesn't mean they're a good person. In fact, you might even be worse off. Think about Genesis chapter 19. Or Judges 19, yeah. Judges 19, they're traveling, and they don't want to stay abroad with the heathen because they're so afraid of how dangerous that is, so they stay with their brethren, where guess what? All the Sodomites are. Don't think that the land of Benjamin is always the best place to go. Sometimes a Baptist church could be the most, you know, the worst place to take your kids and drop them off with the don't care and drop them off with, you know, the pedophile behind the counter that you don't know about. And look, I've been in independent fundamental Baptist churches where men are behind the counter taking the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds, and it's weird. No normal grown man wants to change the diaper of any kid, even their own, okay? I don't. If you want to do that, you have problems, all right? Mark chapter 14, look at verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. Now, we have to understand about the Passover. You have to understand this. It's a feast where everybody in the entire nation of Israel is coming unto Jerusalem. That's what they're supposed to do. Now, a lot of people didn't do this, but all the faithful people, they had to travel a long journey 3 times a year to Jerusalem for certain feasts. One of those feasts was the Feast of the Passover. And the people that lived in Jerusalem, they know this. And they know that people are going to want to stay with them. So this homeowner, he was already prepared for someone to stay with him. He didn't know it was. But you know what? There's a prepared place for a prepared person. And he happened to be the guy that gets to host Jesus Christ. That worked out pretty well, didn't it? Notice the guy that's not prepared, he didn't get Jesus to stay with him. But the guy that was already prepared, he's already a hospitable person, he's ready to host people, he gets to host the Lord Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples in his upper chamber. I bet that was pretty cool. Hey, that was the Last Supper up there, wasn't it? Like, what do you mean by that? Oh, never mind. Be a fly on that wall, right? Go to Luke chapter 7, the last place I'll have you turn. Let me give you a recap. If you're going to be a good guest, find a worthy home. If you're going to be a good guest, salute the house. If you're going to be a good guest, don't go from house to house. Be content. Number 4, don't complain about things. Number 5, take the host out to dinner. Number 6, have no expectations. Number 7, don't talk about all the things you do differently. Number 8, say thank you for the things provided. Number 9, clean up after yourself. Number 10, don't overstay your welcome. If you want to be a good host, let all of the wants of your guests lie upon you. And notice there's overlap there, isn't there? The host, I'm telling you, provide them everything. And if you're the guest, you're trying to take them out to dinner. Why? Because you should be the most gracious person you could possibly be. Obviously, there should be a tug of war naturally there, right? And if the guest wants to take you out, let him take you out, okay? Don't refuse a gift. Number 2, offer your guest food and beverages. Number 3, protect your children. Number 4, have your place already prepared. Be ready to take people on. And number 5, as the host, offer to clean up everything. Now notice, I'm telling both parties to do the same thing, because this is what a good person's going to do. There's going to be overlap. A husband lays down his life for his wife. The wife is a servant to her husband. The husband's a servant to his wife. Why? Because that's a great marriage. When you have two people constantly trying to serve each other and do good unto each other, it's great. When you have two people trying to constantly take from one another, bad. When you have a guest coming in just trying to use up all the resources of the host, bad. When you have a host just trying to bum things off of the guest, bad. You want the exact opposite. You want the guest to be coming in, blessing the home, doing good unto the home, leaving early. You want the host blessing them and doing everything for them. So my last point is, if you're going to host, offer to clean everything up. Say, hey, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. You don't worry about it. You just relax. You take it easy. We want to do it. You know, there should be a natural inclination for you to do as much as you possibly can. Look at Luke chapter 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. So notice this host, she's doing everything. She's even wiping his feet with her hair. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine someone doing that today? But, you know, the other host, he's like, you didn't offer me anything to drink. You didn't do anything for me. This woman's willing to literally clean his feet with her hair. I think you can clean up after your guests. I mean, if this woman can clean Jesus' feet with her hair, I think you should be able to be willing to clean some things up, shouldn't you? Nobody has to go to these type of extremes typically. I don't have to do that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to wash your feet with my hair, okay? You don't want that. It's going to be really awkward really quick, okay? But at the end of the day, we should be willing to go over and above and beyond. We should be a gracious guest and we should be a wonderful host. And when we do these type of things, we're going to be like our Father in heaven. So I hope that helped you. It's just some practical advice. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for all the